the people at the Kirk Center said that they did a better job of engaging with the text than some of their groups that come from Harvard and Yale. They were so deep in the text. I was so proud of them.
You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Recently, 8 Concordia University Chicago students participated in an invitation-only, discussion-based retreat on Lutheran political theology, doctrine of two kingdoms, vocation, and the limits of politics. Today, we'll hear about their experience and what they learned.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Irvine. You can learn more about Concordia University Irvine at cui.edu.
Joining us today, Dr. Rachel Ferguson. She serves as professor of business ethics and assistant dean of the College of Business, as well as the director of the Free Enterprise Center at Concordia University Chicago. Dr. Ferguson, welcome to The Coffee Hour.
Thanks for having us.
Also joining us today, students from Concordia University Chicago. We have Jonah Witte. He's a rising sophomore pursuing dual certification in secondary education biology and a director of Christian education program. Jonah, thanks for joining us today.
Glad to be here.
And Grace Levitt. She's a rising junior in Lutheran teacher education studying secondary education in the social sciences. Grace, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
So first of all, after reading the description of this retreat, I'm a little envious. So I'm going to live vicariously through you all and learn about the retreat that you got to experience. Dr. Ferguson, where did the idea for this retreat first begin?
Well, I don't think anyone's going to be shocked for me to say that we are in a pretty weird political moment. There's a lot of strange fragmentation and so forth going on. And I get pleas for help from legislators, from professors, from DC saying there's a lot of young people who think of themselves as conservative and are listening to people who call themselves conservative, but they don't actually know what the conservative tradition is. They don't know Russell Kirk or Alexis de Tocqueville or Edmund Burke or Milton Friedman or, you know, any of those thinkers. And so I wanted to sort of arm some of my students with the true classic kind of 20th century American conservative tradition. And I wanted to do it in a way that was in conversation with Martin Luther so that they could bring that to bear with their generation, which I think is being swept along by a lot of bad ideas that are coming through the internet.
Tell us what you were hoping the retreat would look like. Tell us what you were hoping the students would really be able to do and to learn and gain at this experience.
Yeah, I really wanted them to engage with the actual texts. So, you know, we're definitely living in an age of, you know, small sound bites, right? 5-minute podcasts or something like that. And I wanted them to do a very deep dive with these actual original thinkers, as well as with Martin Luther himself in the Large Catechism. And so I did invite Pastor Sutton, Trevor Sutton, to work with me as a theologically trained person. I'm a philosophically trained person. So I wanted to have the two of us working together. And I wanted them to be able to take up both the perspective of a fellow traveler and the perspective of a critic. And so Pastor Sutton helped us to sort of divide up our roles so that we were sometimes leading the discussion, sometimes criticizing the reading, sometimes reporting to one another what we found. And that way, the engagement with the text would go very, very deep for them.
Mm. What did the setting look like? What kind of setting did you choose for this retreat?
Well, I was very, very happy to be able to host the retreat at the Russell Kirk Center. And so Russell Kirk, of course, is the famous author of The Conservative Mind. Back in the 50s, he went on to write The Roots of American Order and many other great works of conservatism. He's sort of the brain behind the 20th century conservative movement led by William F. Buckley and others. And so by being literally at his house and at the little library that he built there in Mecosta, Michigan, we were able to be surrounded by all of his work, by people who are studying him, by his widow, Annette Kirk, who we had several wonderful meals with. And the students were able to not only learn these things, but sort of touch the history, touch that moment in history in which the conservative movement was born in order to, of course, at the time, fight communism.
We have two Lutheran church work students on with us. Dr. Ferguson, why was it important for something like this, or how does something like this really benefit students who are going to hopefully eventually be Lutheran church work students?
Yeah, so part of that is just the students that have been attracted to my Free Enterprise Center Student Fellows Program. They just happen to also be a lot of the students who are interested in theology. But I also think, I mean, we've seen this, right? We've seen huge amounts of contention and strife in churches over these very strange political times that we're in and some of the fragmentation that's occurring. And so in order to arm these students to actually be salt and light in the churches that they're going to, I wanted them to have that sort of stronger grounding in the enduring things, not just sort of the fads of the moment, right? But kind of the ancient wisdom that we bring to bear when it comes to these things. And that includes that, you know, institutions are very hard to build and very easy to destroy, right? And kind of the gratitude of the conservative heart for the institutions that we have. We want reform, but not revolution. Those sorts of classic kinds of conservative insights.
I understand this was a device-free retreat. Tell me what that means and why it was important to you.
Yeah, it just means that for all of these readings, we had actual printed packets. So people weren't looking at their computers. They weren't looking at their phones. They're underlining things. They're talking to one another in breaks. No one's checking their messages, right, in the breaks and so forth. And so it was just important for us to have that taste of what life used to be like when we just read and talked and weren't removed from the moment or the room that we were in to some other place with that level of distraction.
That also sounds very exciting to me. I think we're surrounded so much by technology, and even when we're researching things, it's so easy to have a question, and instead of talking to someone, we immediately look it up on our phones, which gives us some sort of answer right away, but that doesn't necessarily facilitate discussion among our peers. And that sounds like something that you really wanted to happen during this event.
Yeah, the discussion nature of it was strong, especially because each of the students were sort of assigned with a role to play for each session. Mm-hmm. And so whether they're the critic or the discussion leader, whatever it might be. And so in a way, you couldn't just hang back, right? Like, it's easy to become passive in our age because we can just take in content, right? Either from the internet or even just sitting in a lecture. But in this way, it's more seminar style. And especially because we broke into two groups. So every single student had to talk a lot, right? And had to really participate and really read these texts and really know what they wanted to say. And so I think that's a unique experience these days, sadly, but I wish it was more common.
Did you have experiences like this as a student? What were the things in your formation that really led to this retreat, that gave you the ideas for this retreat?
Yeah, no, great question. It was actually more after my college experience that I began to do colloquia with Liberty Fund. That's an organization in Indianapolis that publishes a lot of works of political economy. And they would bring graduate students and faculty together for these seminar style colloquia, where everyone had read, say, 200 pages of the same stuff before we got there. And then you would have a discussion leader throw out certain questions, you'd get in a queue and you'd participate. And I ended up sort of being deputized at a certain point in my career to go and do this at free enterprise centers actually all over the country. And so I taught other faculty how to lead these types of seminars, put the readings together, et cetera. So I've been deep, deep into this sort of colloquia or seminar style of teaching for about 25 years at this point. And so I wanted to introduce that, but I've got to give a huge shout out to Pastor Sutton, who added this element of the roles, the critic, the reporter, the quoter, the discussion leader, et cetera, where even, I think that even deepened the engagement. And we were so excited about the roles that a lot of us who are in the FEC were saying, okay, now we want to add that to our discussions that we do in our core curriculum as student fellows. So that was an added layer from Pastor Sutton.
Yeah, Pastor Sutton certainly is also a very deep thinker and someone who really enjoys engaging topics like this in this kind of manner, really having time and space for discussion in a way that you really don't get in a lot of other spaces. So it's really great that you were able to collaborate with him on this and have this space for students to come together. And Grace, I saw your head nodding quite a bit talking about having conversations and really being involved. Why did you accept this invitation to the retreat, Grace?
Yeah. So I had the privilege this last semester of being Dr. Ferguson's student worker, or her minion, as she calls me. So I got a lot of opportunity to kind of see behind the scenes the formation of this retreat. Got to be a part of some of the conversations regarding the readings and timing of everything, dates, everything. So that taught me a lot about just forming some kind of retreat like this in the future. Since I am going in education, I'll probably do things like this myself at some point. But really, what made me decide to go on this retreat was I really saw a need for some of these conversations we had at our university among church workers. Like Dr. Ferguson has mentioned, there's a lot of polarization going on in our country right now. And being able to have Christian responses to certain topics and discussions that are being had that are maybe not how we should act as Christians, and people making decisions that are not very Christ-like. And so how do we talk to people who are making these decisions with love and respect? And how do we know that we actually know what we're talking about? We can't just say this is wrong and have nothing to back it up. So having these readings and discussions really helped me to feel more prepared for future conversations.
That's like, Jonah, what about you? Why did you accept the invitation to the retreat?
I really enjoy just like growing as an individual. And this was a great experience to grow as an intellectual and really deep dive into like, what does it mean to be part of the conservative like idea? And really deep diving, as Grace was talking about a little bit, deep diving into, well, what is conservatism? Like, it's one thing to know about it, but it's another thing to know what it is and what are the principles of it?
How did you, Jonah, how did you prepare for this retreat? What did you need to do to be ready for the entire time that you're going to be there reading, no devices, ready to jump into these discussions?
The majority of it was just a lot of reading. There were 8 readings, and it was just, it's a lot of time, especially during finals week, to just set aside and be like, okay, I need to go through these attentively. And I think as Dr. Ferguson was talking about, the roles that Dr. Sutton introduced were incredible. Like being able to do the readings, not just from a blank lens of, oh, we might talk about this, might talk about that, but having a certain role that you're looking at. So as you're reading, you can look at it through a certain lens. I thought that was very helpful. But yeah, just a lot of reading, taking notes.
Grace, tell us about your preparation for the retreat.
Very similar. A lot of reading. I've had an opportunity through the Franer Price Center to go on a number of conferences and different retreats through different organizations. And through those retreats and conferences, I've really learned the importance of being prepared for discussions and how important it is to also talk with the other people that you are going to be interacting with. So on top of just reading it, discussing it with my fellow participants in the retreat, in the car to the Kirk's home. Every morning we would talk about the readings from the night before in the hotel lobby. Even like when we were supposed to be going to bed, we would be texting each other like, what did you think about this? Or I came up with this question because I'm the discussion leader. Do you think that this is good? And so that really offered a lot of collaboration and allowed me to feel super prepared because there's a few times some of the readings were a little bit more difficult. And so just making sure like I'm actually getting what I'm supposed to and I'm actually understanding what's being discussed in this reading, it really made me feel very prepared for our discussions.
We're talking about a retreat happening to talk about the doctrine of two kingdoms, vocation, the limits of politics, a retreat on Lutheran political theology. We need to take a quick break. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University Irvine, you have the freedom to explore your future and your faith. Across over 60 on-campus and online programs, you'll experience Christian education that's uniquely designed to develop the whole person, to prepare you not just for your career, but for all of your callings in life. Here you'll explore life's toughest questions, gain lifelong skills, and make relationships that last a lifetime. Concordia University Irvine. Learn more at cui.edu.
back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Gilseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with Dr. Rachel Ferguson, Professor of Business Ethics and Assistant Dean of the College of Business and Director of the Free Enterprise Center at Concordia University Chicago, along with Concordia students Jonah Witte, a rising sophomore pursuing dual certification in secondary education biology, and Director of Christian Education, and Grace Levitt, a rising junior in Lutheran teacher education, studying secondary education, social sciences. And both of you were describing the preparations that you had and just a little bit into the retreat. So let's talk about the discussion groups, the roles that both of you were able to play. That really sounds like it was a very impactful part of this retreat. So I'm curious what roles both of you played and how that really helped shape your experience during this retreat. Grace, let's start with you.
Yeah. Well, all of us played each of the roles at least twice. So that was really nice. Sometimes some of the roles were a little bit more difficult, especially if you had to be the critic of Russell Kirk's writing when you have Annette Kirk, his widow, sitting behind you watching you and listening to you critique her husband's work. So that was a little bit intimidating, but a lot of the rules really force you to focus on a certain aspect of the reading. Obviously, making sure that you understand the entirety of the paper or the chapter of a book that you're reading. But it forced me, at least, to really focus on, if you were the quoter, like looking for a specific quote that you could anticipate what the discussion leader would, what kind of questions they'd be asking. So it kind of forced me to really focus on what's the main idea of this paper. The critic, again, that could sometimes be a little bit difficult, but really trying to focus on, if I were to sit down and edit this paper or, again, this chapter of a book, what would I specifically look for and look for improvement? Because nothing's perfect. So what can we try to improve on? And then, not to get into every single one of them, I'll let Jonah kind of jump in next. It really just forced me to focus on what I was reading instead of just kind of glancing over everything and just getting a generalized idea.
Yeah, Jonah, what about you? How did the different discussion roles help you to think through the material? And also, how did they challenge you in different ways?
Mm-hmm. As Grace summed up, it's really about that lens that it puts on the reading, having to read it from a certain idea, looking for certain things. Yeah, it was really great because it made the readings a little easier, and doing eight of them, it can be a lot to read. So any help, we'll take it. At times, it can get a little challenging, though, because you're looking at it from that certain lens. And if you miss something, then, or like you want to talk about something and you don't have, like that wasn't your role, it can be a little, not upsetting, but around upsetting at times when you want to talk about something, but that's not really your role. But that's also important to recognize that stuff, that it may not be your role to talk about that at times. One of them that keeps popping in my mind was the reporter, which is they summarized everything at the end. So each discussion, each of the different segments, we do like a 5 to 10 minute opening by Dr. Ferguson or Dr. Sutton. Then we'd go talk about it for about 25-ish minutes or more. And then we'd get back together. And then we'd, you know, the reporter would summarize what we talked about. And it was interesting listening to them because you're like, wow, I forgot I talked about that or we talked about that. But it's still super helpful.
How did the environment you were in for this retreat, how did that shape your conversations and your thinking, especially the fact that it was a device-free setting? Jonah?
I would say it really helped me to focus on being like in the woods, kind of away from the bustling city. It's nice to just take some time and, you know, be away from everything busy. But it also allows us to connect with each other more. I know us eight students, we got to know each other a lot more. And that also improved how the discussions went. When you know who you're talking to and you're learning about them, they were looking for, you start to learn what they're looking for in the readings. But yeah, overall, just really good connection, really good focusing. The no devices, it takes something away from the discussion when you're looking up and you see everyone on their phones or their computers typing what they're going to say next. And so good to get away from that for a week.
Grace, your perspective on how the environment shaped your conversations and your thinking, including the fact that it was device-free.
Yeah, I would agree with Jonah. It was really nice to kind of be in a more wooded landscape, I guess. The building you were in was fantastic. I don't think it's been remodeled since Dr. Kirk used it as his personal library. It had plaid carpeting and books from floor to ceiling, and I want my future house to look like that. It was a wonderful environment to kind of work in. It was just, again, it was very comfortable feeling. We had a lot of access to the people who work for the Kirk Center, and of course, Dr. Ferguson and Dr. Sutton and our peers and everything. So that really allowed a lot of good discussion to be had. Like Jonah mentioned, it really forced a lot of us, without having any devices, to kind of get to know each other and to have a lot of good conversations. And that was pretty fun, especially after we had our reporters at the end of each session. We would have like a 15-minute break or so. And during that time, we would mostly just talk about what the other group talked about. Because Dr. Sutton pointed it out multiple times, but we had the same readings, but we would go in similar paths, but then we would diverge very quickly and have completely different discussions. Every single time the group I wasn't in had their discussion leader present, there was always something I was like, wow, that's such a great point that we didn't even think about talking about. And so during our break time, I would all of us, I think, would go and talk to people from the other groups and just ask them questions about what they talked about, or, hey, we talked about this thing. What do you think about it? And so it facilitated a lot of discussion, and not having any devices really forced us to focus in on what we were talking about. And I think I really appreciated that aspect of the retreat.
Both of you are looking at futures in church work as educators. What did you learn in this retreat, and how does what you learn, how do you see it impacting or informing your future vocations after Concordia? Grace?
Yeah. I think my favorite reading was we read Martin Luther's summary of the Lord's Prayer. It was just a great reminder for me how great a writer Luther was. I'm going to start reading my Large Catechism again for sure after that discussion we had. It's almost like every question I have is just, the answers are in there. So that was something that was really important for me, just a good reminder. Another good reminder for me during the retreat was my common sense is not everybody's common sense. This is something I've kind of learned a lot throughout the school year. And for me, what being conservative is, and what I think is just basic conservatism, as laid out in Kirk's 10 Conservative Principles or in some of his other works, is not everybody's definition of it. And so this retreat was just a good reminder for me that you need to have these documents and you need to have these things laid out. And it's important to share these with others, and especially your future students, since I am going to be a teacher, specifically social sciences. So this retreat was great for me. Just a reminder of the things that I should probably share with my students at some point. But it really just reminded me the importance of having good Christian conversations with people and knowing that sometimes there are going to be disagreements about things like politics. But ultimately, the biggest thing that is important is that reminding yourself that Jesus died for these people that maybe don't agree with you, and being able to have these patience and reminding yourself that it's okay not to agree on everything.
Jonah, what about you? What did you learn, and how do you see it informing your future vocations?
Yeah, I was trying to think of like one word to sum up the retreat, and I think the word I decided on was growth. I think in every aspect, all 8 students and hopefully the 2 leaders, we all grew during this experience. It can be challenging at times listening to people you disagree with. And there was a lot of that on the retreat. You're listening to people having discussions, and there's ideas you agree with, ideas you didn't know you agreed with, and then ideas you disagree with. And it's just, how do we listen to people? How do we talk to people we disagree with speech that is seasoned with salt and still kind and Christ-like? I think that's where I see this retreat affecting my future vocations. I'm not social science, so it's not like I'm going to teach this stuff in biology, but it's important to know how to talk to people and how to build connections with people on topics you disagree with, which is so vastly growing in the world today. Just lots of disagreement. And it's just, how do we as Christians, how do we as Lutherans talk to people we disagree with in a way that's respectful, that's understanding, that's kind, and that's not just going to push them away?
Dr. Ferguson, having listened to both of these scholars and their interest and engagement with the material and the conversations here, I think a theme that keeps coming up over and over again is curiosity. What place does curiosity have in this type of retreat and these conversations?
Huge. Well, I just have to say first that Jonah's comment reminded me of a line from one of our Kirk readings, which is conservatives are the kind of people who have their enemies over for dinner. So I love that Jonah said that. And that's part of the curiosity, right? Is that I'm not putting myself into a bubble or into an echo chamber. It doesn't mean I don't really believe the things that I believe, but I am curious about others. I want to understand where they're coming from. I want to understand why. I might be willing to change my mind if I hear something compelling enough, right? And so, bringing a curious nature to our relationships with other people, as opposed to sort of the, and I feel like this is what's increasing a lot, is sort of the us versus them. They're the enemy. We're the good guys. How can I even use the weapons of the enemy against them, right? How can I pick up the kind of strategies that are used by maybe people on the far left or something like that in order to attack them? And I'm thinking, ooh, no, don't do that. No, keep the strategies and the heart of Christ in the way that we handle our relationships with others. And we don't have to make things happen. We trust God. And so we can have difficult conversations and we can trust God for the outcome. I don't have to force any kind of an outcome.
Did this retreat accomplish what you had hoped? And do you plan to do it again?
Yes and yes. So I'll tell you that I was blown away, actually, by how good it was. I really cannot overstate how thrilled I was. The students did an amazing job. The people at the Kirk Center said that they did a better job of engaging with the text than some of their groups that come from Harvard and Yale. They were so deep in the text. I was so proud of them. And I also felt that Pastor Sutton's additions, for instance, we read Jacques Ellul on propaganda. I think that was really, really helpful for thinking through the environment we're in. We're getting a lot of messages that we're taking in all the time and sometimes curated by the algorithm. I sometimes talk about students being discipled by the algorithm, right? And so the whole just structure of the thing turned out so, so well. I was very, very pleased. I was so pleased that I've got to figure out a way to do it again. This was supported by a private donor. So if there are any private donors out there who want to help us do it again, let me know. You can find me on LinkedIn. I'd love to take your money and take the students back to the Kirk Center. It would be great. And there were also a lot of students who didn't get to come just because of the timing. And that's always true. So I'd love to do something during the semester so that students who weren't able to come could. And so I really, really want to do it again. Yeah.
Dr. Rachel Ferguson, she's professor of business ethics and assistant dean of the College of Business, as well as director of the Free Enterprise Center at Concordia University, Chicago. Dr. Ferguson, thank you for being our guest today.
You're very welcome. Thanks for having me.
As well as our students from Concordia University, Chicago, Jonah Witte. He's a rising sophomore pursuing dual certification in secondary education biology and director of Christian education. Jonah, thanks for being our guest today.
Happy to be here.
And Grace Levitt, she's a rising junior in Lutheran teacher education, studying secondary education and social sciences. Grace, thanks for being our guest.
Of course.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.